All right, we're on Roman numeral 3, dealing with the creation of the throne room, otherwise known as the third heaven. And the earth immediate below came into existence next. In a beginning, there we go again, no definite article in the Hebrew. God created, kel perfect, of the verb to create. The verb to create in the Hebrew is bara. It means to bring into existence that which did not previously exist. The heavens and the earth. At this juncture, a physical throne was established. And on the throne, God the Father appeared in finite form. I don't know if you've ever thought much about that. As you compare that to the doctrine that God cannot be reduced to one place. But there is a figure, a human figure, not any other but human figure that obviously had to be created, that obviously didn't eternally exist any more than the physical throne eternally existed. God existed, as we saw in the preceding class, God existed eternally from everlasting to everlasting before anything physical was in existence, anything physical that we typically relate to physical. Psalm 11:4a, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. A throne is, and again, we gave the verse before, that no facility, no room, no area of space can contain the essence of God. The essence of God exists for infinity. Space is endless. Otherwise, nothing, it wouldn't make any sense. Psalm 47:8, God reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. Just as a monarch may have a throne in a specific location within his kingdom, so God has a throne. Psalm 93:2, your throne is established from of old. So this is the, you are from everlasting. That's even further back. 103:19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Hebrews 8:1. Now the main point of what has been said, we have a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of his in the heavens. So the Father, who's been sitting on this throne ever since original creation, a figure, a real life figure, not a statue, not a real life figure that ostensibly can get up, walk around, etc., etc. And now, with the ascension and session of Christ, Christ is seated at the position of preeminence, which is always the right hand. So the Father, and then the Son sits at the right hand. Co-regency. Co-rule. That's where the physical humanity of Jesus Christ resides. Obviously, his humanity had a different origin than the humanity that involves God the Father. Again, as in the doctrine of the incarnation, deity cannot compress itself and locate and shrink down to one spot. It's immutability means exactly that. God is unchanging in all of his attributes. They do not improve and they do not degrade. It's perfection from the beginning. In other words, you can't think higher than that. No matter how smart you are, you can't think higher than all-powerful, all-knowing, etc., etc. Omnipresent everywhere at once. There's Psalms that will feature one of his attributes. Psalmist says, where can I go? And God isn't there. I could go to the depths of the deepest ocean. He's there. Omnipresence. I like to use this one from time. Every believer ought to be informed with regard to the, because we'll get to it, in Isaiah. Excuse me. Isaiah 14. It's an interesting chapter. So I kind of skip around just a little bit here. other verses, Isaiah 14:13. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. That's an ascent. It's going up to heaven from another location, the earth. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. However you take stars there, I take it as not the literal stars, though that would be true too. I take it as angel. Stars are used symbolically for believers and for angels in certain passages. And I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. So straight up from what we used to call the North Pole, straight up on a straight line will hit the throne of God. So that would be an ascent. An ascent. And Satan here in Isaiah 14, this, first of all, this is a taunt, T-A-U-N-T, at the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon is not the Babylon of antiquity, but the prophetic Babylon of the United States. The land of confusion has become the land of confusion. Is it ever true today? It's beyond comprehension. You try to tell people back in, well, even the 80s or 90s or whatever, that this is going to come to this, they would have laughed at you. This, I'm just going to read it and make a quick comment. In this, it's structured in poetic verse, or in, rather than just narrative. With verse 4, how the oppressor has ceased, and how fury has ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers, which used to strike the peoples in fury with unceasing strokes. This is the subjugation of the world order of nations that have been involved in one degree or another with oppression, war, and pain on their own populations. More people have died in the last century and now through the oppression of world rulers over their own people than have died in World Wars I and II and so forth. Do you know how many people died under the Bolsheviks in Russia? Tens of millions of Russians died in gulags and camps when they locked down that country under communism. The Bolsheviks, who were funded by Western elitists. They got their money and their support from them. They hated the Tsar. Oh my God, they hated the Tsar of Russia. He torpedoed the first attempt at a United Nations type thing. He torpedoed the first attempt, the Tsar. Did you know that Russia came to the aid of the United States on two occasions in our history, to keep the other Europeans and the hell out of our business as we settle our own differences? They put their fleet out there during the Civil War. We didn't have much of a navy then, and we certainly didn't have one to speak of at the time of the Revolutionary War. Britain was the big dog out there with that. Russia had been here, and it was under the Tsar, a king, a monarch. They came to the aid of the United States twice. Probably isn't going to be found in your little history book. But they hated the Tsar. And so the Tsar and his family were murdered by the Bolsheviks, and they took over Russia. And when the dust settled, they had killed tens of millions of Russians. Wiped out whatever form of Christianity they had, basically. Did all what they do. Communists, atheists, God. They're really Satanists. It's not fair to call them atheists. They're Satanists. Deep down, they're portrayed overtly as atheists. And now Russia's come back. And it's more Christian acting than we are. They're really, that's just the way it is. They're far from perfect, but they're a lot more Christian acting than we are. They condemn a bunch of this nonsense that's going on in this country. So they're criticized by the international press, which is controlled by about six corporations that feed them what they got to say. Russia doesn't go for this stuff. They will not allow any of this perversion to be taught in their school system. This unnatural perversion that is being taught in certain school systems, apparently, in the United States. I would not teach in a school system that required this. Even if I wasn't teaching a class that involved it, I'd get the hell out of there. I ain't part in it. It's child abuse. Feed them this wokeism and this what do you know what you are? It's mind-boggling. It's like denying reality that you can't escape. That's been known for centuries. It's just incredible what Satan can sell people. But the dark side can sell people, and they will fall for it. I guess it shouldn't surprise us. Like I said, what ought to be a mainstay course in the school system as early as you can and work your way to the top is logic, rational thinking. Read this assignment and tell me what, there's something in here that's not right. It'll all sound good. It's all coded around all the rest, but you've got to figure it out. And of course, like with any subjects, basic math and on up the ladder to advanced. So you can see through stuff. When stuff doesn't make sense. All right. Of course, behind the rulers of the world and behind all this evil is the evil one. With the different ideologies, the different motivations that these nations have, the whole earth is at rest. That shifts over to the millennium, okay? It's like you go from this chaos and all this, the whole earth is at rest. It's quiet. They break out into shouts of joy. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you. Who's you? The evil one. And the cedars of Lebanon saying, since you were laid low, no tree cutter comes up against us. How would you like to figure that one out? The cedars of Lebanon, north of Israel, were famous. Famous forests. The cedars of Lebanon. Right north of Israel. Wasn't it David made him a house of cedar? From the cedar, from the wood up there. It says, Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. Sheol's hell. It's the underworld. It's excited? All these people are excited? So a little bit of a modification with regard to hell. Yeah, it's a really bad place to be. And it's miserable. And you thought it was hot last week. Even if you were caught in a place where they had no air conditioning. or your electric didn't work. Whatever. There is a pre-announcement. Think about it. There's things I don't know. There's a pre-announcement made that Satan for the first time is coming down. And we know that he will come and his fourth fall. His first fall was until unrighteousness was found in you. That's sin. He fell into sin. Just like Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He fell. His second fall was he got ejected from his position, his preeminent position among all the angels. He got ejected unceremoniously. It'd be like someone getting thrown out of a bar, literally. Just literally thrown out on the sidewalk by bouncers. Thrown out. Jesus said, here's another example of, does this apply to his humanity, his deity, or both? He said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. That's his deity. He got canned. And he got thrown out of the throne room, out of his position, so that falls 1 and 2 had to go bam, bam. There wasn't a trial. God already knew that he had sinned and committed the sin of pride. The third fall is in the middle of the trib when he no longer has access to the third heaven. And he doesn't like that. He comes down to earth having great wrath for the last 3.5 years of the trib. So, this is his fourth fall. Perfect. To the extent a person exalts themselves over God and his plan, to that extent, they're going to be brought low. They're going to be brought low. In other words, they're going to be put in their place. Whether it's a believer or an unbeliever. Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. How could you get excited if you didn't know he was coming? And the only way you could know he was coming, because you're cut off from the flow of human history. Satan's on his way down here. The one that deceived you, and you allowed to deceive you during your time on earth. And all the nations that he deceived and ran them through this mill with all this misery and everything. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead and the leaders of the earth. That's what Sheol is full of. They will respond and say to you, even you, they're saying this to Lucifer. When Satan makes his first appearance in hell, he is not a celebrity. All the Satan worshipers run around today with all their little signs and all their goofy stuff. Celebrities and everything. Look at this weird stuff. They're Satanists. Well, some may be just doing copycat stuff because people are so stupid. You know, if everybody wants to mutilate a part of their body, they all copycat it. This kind of mentality Satan can sell on people. So they chide him. They taunt him. These are people in hell. This is their souls. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead and the leaders of the earth. See, this is poetry. It raises all the kings and the nations from their thrones. They got thrones down there? This guy was the ruler of Bulgaria back whenever, let's just say. I'm just arbitrarily pick something. And he's got his little throne, he's got a little seat, he's got a little place. And he's recognized as, this was our leader, this was our president or whatever. This is him. And they still have the position, but none of the glory and none of the benefits. I think there's some insight that has to be, nobody wants to talk about hell, right? It's not good. And of course, we had all these ideas that you're in such misery you can't even think, let alone. It'd be like someone, that's you know, in a burning building, and all they can feel is the final pain of the fire, and they're dead. Hell is not that extreme. I mean, in that way. They can still talk. They can still reason. They can still speak. You could be in such pain, it's obvious, that you couldn't even talk. Your pomp and the music of your harps. Satan, not only in his beginning, he was a walking orchestra. Music that could come out of him. Now, how did these people down in hell get informed of all of this? They sure didn't get informed when they were back on earth, because they're not interested in Bible doctrine. Now, I know on the good side of things, before they evacuated paradise with Jesus evacuating, I know that people that came down there subsequently got brought up to grade with regard to past history. See? Abraham will be there and talk about Moses and the prophets. Well, but they're already there too, see? And then new ones get added until that was relocated in the third heaven when Christ led captivity captive. When he went down there in his resurrection body through the mantle and the crust of the earth all the way to Sheol paradise, made a victorious proclamation to the angels, the one group of demons or fallen angels that were incarcerated, those that were involved in the impregnation of women before the flood, producing the mighty men of old. Half angel, half human, or part and part. Close enough. Truth is stranger than fiction. That's why all this fiction stuff bores me to tears. If you had movies about this stuff, then I'd get interested. But when they do a religious movie out of Hollywood, usually it's pathetic. Because they will not follow the biblical script. That's not because they're not smart. It's not because they don't have the technology to make this real impressive. They do. But they don't have a critic like me or someone else saying, no, that's stupid. Portray it the way the Bible says. But they can't do it. I had a movie about the Exodus. Charlton Heston, Moses, Yul Brynner, the Pharaoh, Ten Commandments. They did a pretty good, as I remember, it's been so many decades. They had a pretty good depiction of the parting of the Red Sea. They did a pretty good job of that. But otherwise, come on. You didn't do justice to those plagues. Egypt was a wreck. Like you wouldn't believe, like a wreck. For just all their plants. If the hail didn't get them, the insects did. I mean, it was just wrecked in a series of 10 plagues. Can you do this one? Your pomp and the music of your harps has been brought down to Sheol. That's when Lucifer was in heaven and was doing the music scene. He was doing the music scene in heaven. In addition to being the honorary guard of the throne of God, like it needed guarded. No, it's for effect. I'm sure the guards that stand out there in England before the palace, they can stop people. But more than anything else, it's a figurehead thing. It's for looks. Kings had guards around them. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you. Maggots? Huh. Well, we have maggots turn into flies, and you want flies land on, and then they turn back into more maggots, and they eat away at flesh. I really like that scene. There was in the movie Gladiator, where he had been wounded, and he had all this white stuff on his shoulder or arm, as I recall, and it was maggots. Oh. He woke up, the main hero of the movie. He wakes up. He's got all these maggots on him. And they're dragging him off to be a gladiator. And there was another prisoner with him, a guy from Africa, a black guy, big black guy. And he starts to write this. He says, don't, no, no, don't. He says, maggots will only eat the rotten flesh away. They won't touch the good stuff. They discovered that somehow. So all the gangrene, all the mess that's there, the maggots will just eat it out. Hey, how about, and they've done experiments with culturally controlled maggots within an environment to knock out and to use it on patients. I probably didn't become worldwide, instead of other types of cutting and all this kind of stuff, and take the patient with this gangrene or whatever they've got and put these maggots on it and let them eat it all out, and it's gone. That's my little speech on maggots. But these aren't the larvae of a fly. You know, God knew what He's doing when He put all these things on here. Oh, there, look at that fly. Ah. Yeah, and I understand. We don't want them on our food, and we don't want them in our house. They'll get there anyway. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you. That's all the souls of unbelievers. And worms are your coverings. Can you imagine reading this and figuring out what the going on? I mean, really. Now, I'm not to say that I got every little dot and dotted and every T crossed. I don't. But I'm still a student. I just opened your eyes to something if you hadn't thought about it before. And that is that the people in hell aren't just a community of screaming memes. It's heaven hot, I can't. And just like Dante's Inferno, you remember that? He has a depiction of hell. It's not, I'm not trying to, the fact that you're there forever, you've been humiliated, you can't do anything beyond talk maybe, you can't do anything, you can't go get a job. But you're informed with regard to something. It's not as though you are completely blacked out. Somehow you are enlightened that they're really, for those that didn't even believe in Satan, you're suddenly involved in, there's a malignant force behind all this, and this is who he is. Whether they had any exposure to the Bible at all, and many peoples have never had any exposure. You have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. I haven't worked all those titles out either. This is before we would have the normal morning and the sunsetting thing. You've been cut down to the earth. You who have weakened the nations. Look how weak we are today. And morally? So here we get twitted by Putin. The West is morally bankrupt. That includes the European nations and the United States. You're morally bankrupt. You LGBT plus morons. That's one of the reasons they don't like him. You know what he said about our financial system, which is at the root of all of this? It's hooliganism. Hooliganism. Usury. Bible's against it. Printing money. Creating it out of nothing. As a piece of paper or a digital thing. We've printed and we've created about as much money as we can do it anymore. We are so damn far into debt, it's unbelievable. And the whole system is teetering on collapsing. You just can't continue to do this indefinitely. What kept it going was our robust economy. That kept feeding into this to keep it pumped up. We should have never got rid of it. We should have never gotten a Federal Reserve System. But that's that mafia. That's that mafia. We will create money out of nothing. And we will charge the government interest if they borrow so they can do whatever they're going to do, go fight in Vietnam or whatever it is. And so our debt just keeps going, and the dollar keeps shrinking. And what a half a gallon of milk cost back in 1980 versus today, go check it out. It doesn't have to do with there's not as many cows or more people are drinking milk. It may be true of some commodities, obviously. But you know, in economics course, we took it, they never taught us about the Federal Reserve System. I mean, passing references. It's like a lawyer going through law school today. He gets a little cheap introduction to the U.S. Constitution. That's it, I've been told. Unless he specializes in it. So what chance do we have with that kind of stuff going on? So, you've been cut down to earth. This is Satan's fall to the earth and confined. This is his area of running before his fourth fall. Second fall, you've been cut down to earth. When he was ejected. You've been cut down to earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, let's rub his face in it. Now again, these people are informed with regard to this. Otherwise, how could they say this? You made this boast. From the time Satan fell, he was given latitude. This has always been a problem with some people with God. God let this happen. And he could have stopped it. But he let Satan test the angels with his revolutionary manifesto. And all revolutionary manifestos to overthrow legitimate authority and whatever excuses they use, as in communism, whether it was in a different variety, and there's the Chinese version. They killed a lot of their own people too. They used all these thugs to get it in place, and then they killed the thugs off. Can't have them. They used criminals. They're already established criminals in their revolution, and then they wipe them out and set it over there. Mao's revolution in his little red book. Guess what communism does? It overthrows all the institutions, all the culture. It wants to black it all out, black all the history out, everything, turn everything on its head. Sounds pretty satanic to me. Turn everything on its head. And yet, the United States, through its leaders, from communism forward in the 20th century and on, we've been at odds with them and all that. But we've been in bed with them too. We've been in bed with them. Ever heard of Lend-Lease? We propped up that unnatural economic system in Russia. We transferred technology to the Soviets. There's a whole, I think there's three books in our library. American Soviet Union and American Technology, something to that effect, by a guy out of the Hoover Institution. He just did research. Well, he wasn't popular. Exim Bank, all the business we were doing. And then we know that Kissinger and Nixon got together, kind of a reapproachment with Mao. Didn't we know they're murderers and killers of their own people? And why in the hell would we have anything diplomatically to do with them? Then we should have boycotted them. So that unnatural system would collapse and the people could take back over and have the kind of civilization they're supposed to have. But none of this happened, did it? We've got blood on our hands, clear up to our armpits. And all these things we've done, God hasn't forgotten them. It's like a criminal, and he's done this, and now he's going to get it. And God remembers all of it. And the country never did turn to the Lord and say, we renounce this crap, and we want to turn to the Lord and be forgiven. I would have healed Babylon, but Babylon won't be healed. That's already written in stone. The country could have recovered. And you know who I blame as much as any? The lukewarm, pathetic Christians. that are more interested in feeling good and making money than get this thing right. Get this thing right. Wave your little flag, run around, say, oh yeah, it's bad, but hey. So, what we have here is his manifesto. This was not only what he said and decided to do, he also projected this to the angels, all of them, to tell them to join me in this revolution to overthrow the throne of God. They can't overthrow infinite deity in space, but if they can overthrow the throne and occupy something physical, then they won. Period. And he says that I'm going to overthrow the figure on the throne. He convinced himself. I guess. But you said in the heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit in the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down to Sheol. Reality check? To the recesses of the pit. Another synonym for the underworld. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you. So it isn't like, hey, I'm sorry to belabor this. Well, I'm not really sorry. That's not right. But I'm going to belabor it. The people in heaven can ponder. Hell can ponder. They can talk to John Doe and say, there he is. There the SOB is. You know. Who taught us all this mess? Well, they're culpable because they're there. I broke loose from it, so did you. I broke loose from the system. And maybe I'm still breaking loose from it in certain respects. Because I'm growing as a believer. Those who see you will gaze at you, they'll ponder over you. Is this the one who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? I just read another article on that, but people don't want to hear it because it involves American history back when we were great, World War II. Eisenhower's death camps. End of World War II. You know what we did with the German people and the German soldiers that surrendered? We put them in open fields with barbed wire around it, with very little food, exposed, no medical attention, and complete violation. It's all out there in complete violation of the Geneva Convention because Eisenhower told Churchill, I hate Germans. And there's witnesses, Red Cross witnesses, American soldiers, and of course Germans. Men, women, and children. All these camps. Is that how a victor acts? Eisenhower's death camps. All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. At least they got that, don't they? They got a nice tomb. There's one in France for Napoleon. The scourge of Europe, whom God used to whip the Europeans. He had his problems, but at least what I like about him is he's going to take over and rule France. Pope comes up, wants to put the crown on his head. That would indicate who's superior, right? In a pecking order. Napoleon reaches over and picks it up, puts it on his own head. Screw the Pope and all that mess. But you've been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with the slain who are pierced with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit. Break this all down like a trampled corpse. You don't get a dignified end. You'll not be united with them in burial because you've ruined your country. You've slain your people. May the offspring of evildoers not be mentioned forever. Prepare for his sons a place of slaughter because of the iniquity of their fathers. They must not arise and take possession of the earth and fill the face of the world with cities. Interesting. I don't know all about all this. I don't. But I got some of it. and went over a little bit. Oh well, can't make up for the last ones we missed, but we'll try. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity of being here today and hearing these matters. May God, the Holy Spirit, continue to reveal to us the truth in Christ's name.